Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings. Let it
rise. Good morning, listening family. Special hello to all of our friends in Hartford at 94.1 FM and in Waterloo at 93.1 FM, 104.7 FM in Madison, and of course 90.7 right here in the Twin Cities. And the sun is shining brightly. I hope it is doing the same in your neck of the woods. You know, Sunday is Mama's Day, and if you are thinking about something to do really extra nice for your mom, and you want to do it publicly and maybe even anonymously, write a little tribute to your mom and send it to me here at the station, bill@myfaithradio.com. And if it's nice and succinct, when we have time, we're going to put together a whole little bunch of a collection of nice things people have said about their moms. And we're just going to take a little time on Friday to air it. So you can send an email or you can call and leave a voicemail. And it's 1-877-933-2484. We just kind of want to love on moms big time this week. And if you, one of our current promotions here at the station is Bible giveaway is called She Reads Truth Bible. Women eager to connect to Scripture on a daily basis will appreciate the breadth of features and fresh devotionals found in the She Reads Truth Bible. Not easy to say. This Bible is inherently beautiful and intentionally designed to highlight the beauty, goodness, and truth of Scripture. Faith Radio is giving away one copy of the She Reads Truth Bible every week. Visit myfaithradio.com to enter to win.
It is so nice. It really is. I commend it.
Really? You've paged through one?
Yes, I have. It's nice. It's a really beautiful Bible. Not only is the Word of God beautiful in itself, but this is a fascinatingly illustrated Bible. It's based on the folks that put forth the She Reads Truth website and blog that have devotionals specifically for women. But this would be a great gift for Mother's Day. So if you're interested in that, it's coming up, I hear.
I spend more time on the He Watches Sports website than She Reads Truth. It's a very different thing.
Different devotion,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, very much so. Different devotion.
But I could commend this. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.
But how often do we get to talk to a Mother of the Year? Excuse me. I mean, in my world, my mother is Mother of the Year.
Sure.
But Kendra Smiley is actually Mother of the Year, and she's written a book about Mother of the Year and about what it's like. She's written a devotional to help people connect every day with Scripture and a little devotion. She's witty and charming and just like my mother. So we're going to talk to her when we come back. Kendra Smiley is on the studio line, and we're going to have her on in just a minute. Be back. Okay, it's 8 minutes after the hour. Kendra Smiley's written 9 books, and she lives in Illinois with the retired Colonel Smiley, which I don't think he's going to be on the show this morning. But her recent book, Mother of the Year, 365 Days of Encouragement for Devoted Moms, was released April 1st of this year. And I must say that was a happy day for my mother because it was on April 1st that I was born. How about that for odd facts known by few?
How about that? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my birthday.
That's all I got to say on that. I was born
on April Fool's, you know? The doctor said this kid will never have a real job.
I have a daughter-in-law that was too, and we always get a big kick out of it.
Awesome. Now, your book, Mother of the Year, 365 Days of Encouragement for Devoted Moms. Moms are busy. It's the hardest job in the world. So this little book can be a little inspiration every day as you have your coffee to sit down and read a devotion, get some scripture, and maybe a little bit of wit and wisdom.
Yes, I wrote it. When I wrote it, I literally imagined each day as I wrote the day, I imagined sitting down at the table with one of my girlfriends, and I'd share a scripture, I'd tell her a story, and then a challenge for that day. And it was like having a cup of tea with a friend every day. And so my idea was maybe I could go on this parenting adventure with lots and lots and lots of women as they read this book.
So when you took time to do this and you pour your heart into a devotion for women because you know what's going on, having raised 3 boys who now are all married with their own kids, and you're probably a grandma as well. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. How about 11? And now remember, 3 sons, 9 of the 11 are girls.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Craziness,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. But in other words, you have walked through a lot of the struggles and pains and anxieties and frustrations, and you're able to kind of look back over the years and sort of put them into a nice, easy-to-digest devotional, which I think is a fantastic idea.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, it was probably, of all the books I've written, it was probably the most fun one to write. And I don't know if I'll ever say that again about the next book, but this was it was a joy to write and to share all these things. I've gathered all these different stories, number one, from being a mom, few from being a grandma, from having friends. And we were in youth ministry, volunteer youth ministry, high school youth for 21 years. And some of the fun things that I learned from those high school kids, too, or that I tried to teach those high school kids. Yeah, that's all a part of it.
You know, and I love the way this is broken up because it always starts with scripture and then it's got the devotional. And then you ask a little question, you pivot and say, what about you? Or think about this and tell me how that came about. And that's really a very sweet part of the book, I think.
Well, thank you. It's interesting because I was sort of challenged by the editor after I sent in the manuscript. Gosh, your closing isn't always the same. It doesn't always say "Let's pray" or "Think about this." And then I told him what I had told you earlier, that I was having a cup of tea with a friend. This is what she needed at the time. And you know what? I won that arm wrestling contest, as you can see by looking at the challenge at the end of every single page.
Yes. Now, for example, at the end of this devotional, it says, "For you to consider." Are you feeling discontented in a particular area of your life? Ask God to help you learn to be content as you develop a healthy change in behavior. That's a loaded thought.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's different. Being content is different than being, it's not the same as being complacent. I always like to point that out. Oh, I'm just being content. No, you're really not being content. You're really just ignoring things. And God called us to be content, and we can learn to be content.
Amen. So what do you think, Kendra, is some of the struggles that women in particular who are mothers are dealing with today?
Well, I think they're maybe a little, some of them are a little different than the ones I dealt with. Occasionally, I will see in my Facebook page, someone will be asking a medical question of their Facebook friends. That always just kind of amazes me that their next door neighbor, who happens to be their Facebook friend, who, you know, might be a school teacher, but might really not know anything about the medical profession, that becomes the place where you find your answers. And I so much want young moms and moms of all ages to get their answers from the one who really knows the answer. And will guide us to who can give us, for example, a medical answer too. I think that's a big change. There wasn't that opportunity to connect, which I do consider it an opportunity, but it also has some drawbacks. And some of the pressures become greater as we present our best foot forward on Facebook many times. And then as my worst foot is out there, I'm reading this and thinking, well, so much for that. Failed again. And with God, we don't need to do that. He will help us always, guide us always, and we can see that whatever we're going through, there can be a purpose to it.
Mm-hmm. Kendra, do you think that women have a tendency of struggling with the idea that they're not enough, that regardless of what they do or how hard they work, somehow it wasn't enough?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I don't know about men. Never, you know, don't know how that works. You and John, my husband John, can fill me in on that. But, yeah, I think so. I think that, I think part of it is we don't really know what it is we're reaching for, so we don't really know if we've captured it. Mm. I guess the peanut butter and jelly kiss that some mamas are going to get today, maybe your listener, maybe you mom out there, your son or daughter's going to give you a dandelion bouquet. Those are great successes. Who could want anything more?
Right, right. But sometimes when you're in a situation where maybe a beautiful meal has been cooked and I'm an invited guest, and then you hear the mom saying, you know, I might have overcooked the potatoes. Oh, I'm not sure they turned out the way. And I go, come on, this meal was insane.
Isn't that amazing? I don't know why we're built that way. I don't understand that. But you just got to accept us the way we are and encourage us. Those potatoes are amazing. Whatever it takes. And I think that's a nice thing when it's a team effort, is you've got somebody there saying, hey, potatoes, you know, so what if they... Yeah, we ran out, but who really wanted to have more potatoes?
Yeah. All right, Kedra, we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I want to ask about the importance of mentors, because what you're doing in your devotional book is kind of quietly mentoring people through your experience. And we're going to talk about that kind of mentoring, as well as face-to-face mentoring, and how it's important to support younger moms as well. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back with Kedra Smiley. Seventeen minutes after the hour, Bill Arnold talking to Kedra Smiley, who has the distinction of, at one point, winning the Mother of the Year Award in her home state of Illinois. And she has written a book called, in front of me, Mother of the Year, 365 Days of Encouragement. And Kedra, I want to ask you about the importance of mentoring, whether it's done quietly through something like your book that gives out great wisdom, or being face-to-face with another older, wiser mother who's gone through something already in life.
I think it's very important. Interestingly enough, yesterday morning I woke up in South Bend, Indiana, where I was on a television show early in the morning. And then I drove, didn't quite get home because I had arranged to meet with a young woman in our church, same age about as our youngest son. And we had some pizza together, and we talked about some of the things in her life. There are great opportunities to mentor people. And what's the whole idea? It's to focus on the needs of that person that you're meeting with. You're in essence, you're being asked to share your experience. A lot of times we just want to share it, you know, and straighten folks out. That's not what it means to be a mentor. It's being there if you can be. And, of course, everybody can't stop for lunch and have pizza with one of the younger people in their church. But when you have that opportunity to encourage that person, and, again, I think the key is to focus on the needs of that young person, whatever they may be. If it's perceived by the young woman as a need, it is a need. So it's not to be scoffed at. It's to be listened to. And because they are asking for your advice and your experience, and I always reassure, you know, you don't have to take my advice, but here's how I see this situation. I think that gives them some freedom, too.
Mm-hmm. Now we've got Mother's Day coming up on Sunday. And what are some of the best ways that kids of all ages can honor their moms? We're always kind of looking through, what I can get her, or flowers, or what's the best way to honor mom?
This is my opinion, but I feel very strongly about this. Let me give you a quick backstory. John and I went to a funeral of a young woman. She had two kids, college age, and one that had just graduated from high school. And she had a lingering illness, and she and her husband had taken the time to write letters of affirmation to their three children. Of course, the woman knowing that would be the last time she'd be able to communicate, tell her children. And we went to this funeral, and the pastor read these with the three children and the husband up in front. Oh, my goodness. It was so moving. Coming home, the two-hour drive, we decided we needed to write letters of affirmation to our boys. So this past year, on their birthday, they got a birthday card, and they got a letter about the things that we've seen them accomplish that we're so proud of, and some funny things that we remembered. So if you would sit down and write your mama a letter of affirmation. When I wrote those letters to our boys, I thought, I wish I had something like this from my dad or my mom that I could open up and read. They're long gone. Mm-hmm. And I think having those sorts of things. So those of you that are old enough to write, if you just take a minute to just remind your mom of some of the fun things she's done and some of the things you appreciate about her. And I hope my children are listening. I don't think they are, but
give
that would be
numbers.
Great
I'll
if they
call
were
them.
Listening right now.
I'll call them on the air.
Yeah. You want to know the funniest gift I ever got from our kids?
What?
Well, the oldest one was in college, and the middle and the younger, they sent him, I guess they called his phone and left a message. Hey, we're going to get something for mom, some flowers. How much you want to chip in? And he never answered. And so Mother's Day came. He was home that weekend, and the boys walked in, and the two younger sons said they have a beautiful bouquet of fresh flowers, and they also brought a little cactus. And they said, "And this is from Matthew," and they handed it because he never chipped in. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's the thing I remember, how funny they were, and they still are, and how much joy that silly thing brought me, and they knew it would.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have time to donate to the cause.
Mm-hmm. So whenever we're speaking from the heart, whether it's in words or in a voicemail or in a letter we write, that's going to go the longest way to touching a mom's heart, isn't it?
It certainly
yeah.
is.
Yeah, and you know, what are the other things we can say in terms of appreciating our moms? Because they do so much, they've done so much. We don't want it just to point out their behavior, but how do we truly show appreciation for, you know, how they've instilled character in us and made the tough decisions and all that?
Oh, I think we live it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that brings me so much joy when I see that the kids we had the privilege of raising are living it out with Christ. One child at one time as a grown-up was leading a Bible study with other men. You go like, whoa, where does that come from? All those sorts of things. Living out the faith in front of your parents, especially if that was important to them. And you know what? If it wasn't important to your parents, they still see you living out the faith. I did not come to know Christ until John led me to Christ, my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived out my faith then in front of my parents. And I think it made a difference in their lives. I like to go until further notice, it made a difference in their lives.
Mm-hmm. I just find anything that's handwritten is always so personal. And
oh,
when you
yeah.
see, especially because we live in the age of texting and
yeah.
Emails, and we're losing that beauty of those handwritten notes and those little scribbled words that are on a piece of paper. And those things I find are the things that get saved and stashed in Bibles and stuck in drawers. And then all of a sudden you go, I guess that's what really meant the most.
Yeah, I just found one this past week, in fact, from our middle son, written very sloppily, probably was about a second grader. You are the best mom, even when you are sick.
That is so sweet.
I know. I put it on my mirror so that I could be reminded.
Yeah. Well, Kendra,
even when I'm sick.
It's always a delight to talk to you, and happy Mother's Day to you. And thank you for being such a great guest all the time. And pass my best on to Colonel, to John, your husband. And I just hope you have a great rest of the week. I know you're busy. Congratulations on your book. And if you wanted to hear more about it, you can go to Amazon and check it out. Mother of the Year, 365 Days of Encouragement by Kendra Smiley. Have a great week.
Thank you so much, Bill. Always a joy to chat with you.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
24 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and be right back. Thanks for listening. We're so glad you're here. Minutes until the top of the hour. People who have been redeemed and understand real freedom because of the Ten Commandments. Pastor Colin Smith's got something to say about this.
It's so important that the commandments were given to redeemed people. I'm the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when you know the Lord is your redeemer, you hear his commands as blessings. The enemies of God always hear them as threats. They think, what
wow.
right does God have to impose these rules on me? But redeemed people don't react like that. We see that this is the blessing that our God, who calls us into a covenant relationship with himself, brings us into by the power of his Holy Spirit.
If you want to hear more from Colin Smith, you can go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and check out that full interview. Just type in Unlocking the Bible, and it'll come right up. When we return, we're going to talk to Mike Householder from Des Moines. Be back in a minute. Minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. I love great stories. I never tire of good stories. My next guest has got a great one, and I think God gets all the credit all the time, which is another reason I love this guy. And he started a church in Des Moines, Iowa in 1993. And he started with about, 25 people there that Sunday and thinking, this could work. And then last Easter, there were 29,000 people that showed up for service. I would say things are going in the right direction. That pastor is Mike Householder. Mike is on the studio line. Mike, hi, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. Good morning.
I've been wanting to talk to you for a while, and I'll tell you why. There's a good friend of mine that goes to your church, his family, and they are exploding spiritually because of hope and your leadership and teaching, and I just think you're a cool guy.
Well, thanks very much. I know some people who are cool, but I really qualify for that.
Yeah, you're not in that group.
It's exciting to be a part of what God's doing here.
It really is exciting. And I know you graduated from Concordia College, which was right here in the Twin Cities. So you're familiar with this neck of the woods as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I went to Luther Seminary in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And, actually, it was Concordia in Moorhead where I
attended
undergrad.
Yes.
So, yeah, but I'm familiar with the Concordia in St. Paul, too.
Awesome. So you start with this idea, this, you know, you said when we started that you hoped that it could be sustainable. You had no real grand vision, which I found kind of interesting. And you just wanted to have a Christ-centered church. And you wanted Christ to be activated in the lives of everyone that walked through the door. And over time now, you've grown into, the 37th biggest church in the country. And you come from a small town, and you're not in the Bible Belt. So I'm impressed. God be the glory.
I think it's just more acknowledgement that God can do anything. You know, we keep discovering that God's plans are bigger than our dreams around here. And we set out to with no grand vision for any of this to happen, but God just kept providing. We didn't build buildings so people would come. God sent people to Hope, and we had to build to keep up with it.
Right. Now, as a mega, you'd be like a mega church, wouldn't you? At that number, those numbers are big. And
yeah, I think as that term is defined, that would definitely fit us. Yes.
Okay. Now, what I'm just curious, what have you learned about mega churches that might be something we can, that might change the way we think about mega churches? Because I think there are a lot of people that go, church is too big. I'll never meet anybody.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. There certainly are big churches and there are small churches that are in it for the wrong reasons, and at the same time, on the other side of that coin, there are big churches and small churches that are in it for the right reasons, and those are Christ-centered ones, and to give God all the glory, and that's certainly why we exist. And since we've been a church that's been every size, from small to large and everything in between, we know how important it is to keep our heart in the right place and to give glory to God, and that's what we strive to do. So I think, yeah, some of the myths that are out there about big churches that get thrown around would apply to a minority of those churches, but I think the majority of big churches and the majority of small churches and everything in between are churches that strive to be faithful to the call that God gives us, you know, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, and focus on proclaiming the gospel and making disciples.
Mm-hmm. Mike, when a big church shows up and grows, what does it do to the smaller churches in the area? Does it take away, does it suck up a lot of the oxygen, or does it make the other churches around them healthier?
Yeah, the research actually shows that in most cases, and that's been the case for us too, that when God grows a big church in the midst of other sized churches, that it's good for all the churches. And you know, part of that is I think it's important that those churches have to see it that way. We understand we're all on the same team. We're not competing with other churches for sure, and we're better together. And so our experience has been that as God has grown Hope, other churches in the area have been able to grow too, which is exciting.
Uh-huh.
We hope to see the kingdom grow. Whether our particular congregation grows is secondary to that.
Mm-hmm. Because we want to bring people into a saving relationship with Christ, I want to ask you, as a pastor and as a person who's doing incredible things in your community for the gospel, we're dealing today with people who would be very skeptical and people who would be very hostile to the gospel. So we want to be attractive and we want to be interesting and we want to be loving, yet it seems like it's getting increasingly more difficult with the level of hostility in the world, especially towards Christians. What kind of encouragement can you give this morning about that?
I think this is a great time to be the church. And it's not great because it's easy, but it's great because the challenge is so immense. You know, just what you said is true. The culture is certainly falling away from church and fading away from God. And we've all read all the books and studies that show that. But, you know, we're following a Lord who is really big on resurrection.
I love it.
Life and revival.
Yeah.
And so we don't give up hope. And we know, history shows us, that the church is going to stand and we're going to be okay. So now more than ever is the time for us to be faithful and to hold on to the hope that Jesus Christ alone gives us and gives to our world. And I think it's also important that our hearts continue to reflect the attitude of God, which is love for the people who have wandered away, that we don't lose a heart for those folks, that we continue to, even though we don't embrace what they're doing or embrace the falling away, we embrace a love for them, and we want to bring the gospel to them.
It's kind of hard to beat Jesus' resume, you know, born of a virgin, sinless life, raised from the dead.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. You know, and that's what the world needs. We're dying for that good news. We're dying for that resurrection hope and the good news that God can bring life to all the dead places that exist in this world. And so it is an exciting time to be the church, and the challenge is immense.
Mm-hmm. When you are at the helm of a church the size that you have, and I'm just curious about, you're moving so many bodies in and out for over several services, and that gets to be kind of a big business operation, doesn't it? And yet you still have to put on the service, and how do we not make it feel like a big production versus a time when you come and you drop your shoulders and you start to worship and you connect to people, and it's like, we got to get these people in because we got to get these people out.
the clock is always ticking. That's part of it for sure. We got to keep our eye on and honor people's time. But at the same time, that's one of the things that doesn't change. If our focus is on Jesus Christ and if our focus is on worshiping him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then whether you're big or small, those things are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, logistically, there are some new challenges that come as you grow, that's for sure. The parking lot, for one. But when you do things together as a team, and we are blessed with some amazing volunteers and staff, you know, that becomes part of the mission, too, is loving the people that God brings into your parking lot and into your building.
Yeah.
We're excited about that, too.
And Mike, I'm going to take a little break. When I come back, I've got some more questions about your church and also about your personal journey. If you don't mind answering those, we'll be back in just a minute. It's 45 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be right back. Minutes in front of the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. I'm talking to Pastor Mike Householder from Hope Lutheran Church in Des Moines. And he's got really a great story where God gets all the credit, which I love. And I love your leadership. And I love, you know, the fact that you have watched and shepherded so many people that are coming week after week. And I'm just wondering, Mike, there's a lot of people that are deeply wounded by life's experiences, and they're struggling to get a grip on how God could allow this in their life. And yet at Hope, when they come through the doors, they hear about God's love and redemption. And how do we best treat people that have got a victim mentality, or one that says, God really, you know, dealt me a tough hand to play. And I don't know if I can trust God in this situation.
Yeah, that's a great question. We get that a lot. You know, people are hurting in this world, and a lot of times they'll either be invited by a friend in our church community or somebody else out of love, and because they believe that the hope that God gives is available and can make a difference and can transform a life and a heart. And so we're a church that works hard at trying to be there for people in the midst of their hurts and in the midst of their pain. And we try to be there for the whole community, too, in that way. As a church that God has grown to be pretty big in the Des Moines area, we end up doing some things for folks outside of our congregation quite frequently, too. People are hurting, and when they hurt in this community, we end up being there. We had a couple of police officers who were tragically shot in duty within the last year, and they weren't members of our church, but we ended up doing those services and being there for the community and those kinds of things. So yeah, examples like that, but sometimes it becomes much more, much less public, and yet the hurt is just as deep. And so we want to be there for those quiet things too, as well as the things that everybody is reading about in the news.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I know how to be a really popular radio host, but I don't know what it's like to be a pastor of a church with as many people as you are shepherding. How do you prepare yourself week after week, and how do you renew your batteries, get those fresh, and how do you stay connected?
Yeah, absolutely essential. I don't know that I was always real good at that at first.
Okay.
I just kept going and going and going, and then when you don't take those breaks from the Sabbath and you don't breathe in a little bit and you're always breathing out, good. So I would encourage all your listeners today to take a Sabbath this week, take some time off. God wired us up to need those breaks and to renew. And daily devotions are absolutely essential. I can't imagine even having this interview or going into the things that I'll be doing today that are ahead on my schedule without first framing that with some good quality time with God and being in the Word and in prayer. And when you have that framework for the day, no matter what colors get painted in on the canvas, it tends to be okay. It puts things in perspective. So it's the basic things, daily devotions and weekly Sabbath. And when those things happen, the balance tends to stick around. And when those things don't, it fades away.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike, I know from your past, you've had some physical issues that you've struggled with. And do you feel like when you're in a position that you're in, that you got a big target on your back more so than other pastors?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yes. I think all of us as pastors do. I don't know.
Yes.
Big church pastors or anything like that. But, the enemy loves to attack anything that's a threat. And so anybody who's doing ministry, anybody who's shining and reflecting the light of Jesus Christ, I think is going to be a target. In my case, for whatever reason, I was born with some issues, some health issues with my heart that mm-hmm. Were hiding for about 50 years, and they popped up.
Just like heart issues to hide for 50 years. Yeah,
but God is good, and healing has been happening, and I'm blessed with a great community that prays for me and some wonderful doctors here in Iowa and also in Minnesota. I'll add that too. So
yeah, I know you're loved. So when I look at big churches, and I think that sometimes there's a pastor in place who's been sort of the figurehead for years and years and years, like you have, there's a lot resting on, ooh, what happens if Mike were to retire and leave? What would happen then? I mean, I know Dr. Tim Keller from Redeemer is retiring in July after all those years at Redeemer, and I think there must be a collective gasp, like, ooh, what next?
Yeah, Tim is a hero of mine, and I think they've actually transitioned pretty well there. I'm praying and hoping for that. There are good examples of transitions it's not just big churches, big or small churches.
Sure.
After a pastor's been there for a long time, and then there are bad examples, and we're trying to model ourselves after the good examples, obviously, and so we're we have a plan. If I were to be hit by a bus today, we're good to go. We know that this church is not built on me,
right?
And because I had those times with some health issues where I had to step back for several months at a time, I think everybody in the church realized, oh yeah, the church isn't about the pastor, it's about Jesus Christ.
And mm-hmm.
So when you build on that foundation, the potential for continuity and for the spiritual momentum to continue as the church grows deeper and wider is still there. And so I think the transition from one leader to another is important, but I think even more important is making sure that a church is being built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and not on the personality of a pastor.
Yeah. Mike, we've got about 90 seconds left, so we've just entered the lightning round, which means I'm going to ask you a couple questions real quick.
Well,
what happens if we try to be good without God?
lightning round. God is futile. It's not going to last. It's not sustainable.
Okay. And then are Christians dropping the ball on living out biblical morality nowadays?
We're going to be honest? Sure.
Yes. Okay.
As fallen human beings, we always drop the ball. So thank God for grace and that he comes through anyway. Despite our weaknesses, God's perfection comes through.
That's awesome. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you being willing to say yes and be a guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you guys and Faith Radio and keep shining your light.
Awesome. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Yep. In 5 minutes, it's the top of the hour. So if you have to be at work at the top of the hour, get moving. Be back in a minute. Oh, we've had a great morning this day. I hope you are starting it well. I hope you've got a lot of good stuff planned today. You can go out and share your hope with others when the opportunity arises. Ask God to give you opportunities so you can start a conversation or continue a conversation that you might have already started. Speaking of a conversation I've already started, Sunday's Mother's Day and Friday on the show, time permitting and contributions permitting. If you'd like to write a little tribute to your mama, you can put it in an email to bill@myfaithradio.com. A couple sentences or three or four about your mom. Or you can call and leave a message on our voicemail at 1-877-933-2484, 1-877-93-FAITH. And you can leave a little tribute to mom, to your mom. That wouldn't that be sweet? Give you a chance to say something super nice, and we might put it on the air, and that means you don't have to go buy her a present, because, you did something really nice. You know, that'd be really sweet. So bill@myfaithradio.com, a little devotion to your mom. We're going to try to read a couple of them on the air on Friday, which will be the last day of the week before Mother's Day. Anyway, as I started the show today, I said, so I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. That is out of Acts 24, verse 16. That's what I propose you go do today. Keep your conscience clear before God and man. Be in a right vertical relationship with God and good horizontal relationships with others. People you love, you work with, your neighbors. So go have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow.